This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I didn't get the stimulus check in my account, but Jill Stein did Venmo request me for 420.
I'm Brandi Posey, and one time my friend Stacy checked a guy's teeth I was on a date with like he was a Pomeranian at the Westminster Dog Show, and I think Fiona Apple would have appreciated that.
I'm Tess Barker, and I can't remember the last time I wasn't snacking.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Show for everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Week, I don't know, in quarantine for us now. Six?
Day 30. Recording on day 39, dropping on day 40, I don't know. Time doesn't matter anymore. Who cares?
Wow. So, oh, yeah, you have like a countdown calendar in your kitchen, huh, Brandi?
Yeah. Well, counting up, unfortunately.
Counting up. Yeah.
I want to get to the point where I can start the numbers going down to freedom, would be amazing. But right now, they're just slowly, slowly going up, unfortunately.
Let's bring out the one bonus about being in quarantine is that we're able to get some guests on that we've wanted to have on for a while because everyone's sitting around, they can't really get out of it.
Yeah.
So very excited to bring on our guest. He's the host of Never Not Funny, Jimmy Pardo. Thank you for joining us.
I have to be honest. I was just enjoying listening to you ladies. So I'm kind of bummed that I'm being brought into the mix here to muck it up.
Oh, no, we're happy to have you here mucking it up.
Yeah,
feel
free to muck it up.
You can keep going if you want.
But I would suggest, Brandi, that if you want your counting down to freedom, just go to a Georgia or some other state that's stupid.
There you
and,
go.
Yeah. And go to the beach and splash around. Whatever you got to do.
I think you just told me to kill myself, Jimmy.
It's not how I meant it, but if that's how you took it, hey, I'll quote my president.
You literally told her to go walk into the ocean.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'll walk into the ocean, just a completely open beached ocean. That I will do, but before that, nothing else. Man.
Did you guys ever see the movie The End with Burt Reynolds? Did you ever see that movie where... is it The End? I think it's that movie where he walks into the ocean, and I saw it as way too young of a human being. That's got to stop. That bullshit has to stop now.
Pets are the reason.
God damn it, Jack.
Yeah, it's Jack. It's pets are the reason that Jimmy has never been on the show before. Hold on. Let me get him. I'll show him to you. You'll be furious.
Come on. I don't.
I'm doing this.
Are you an anti-pet person?
No, I'm definitely allergic to all animals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Directly into the microphone.
Jack.
Why would I want that yapping in my ear, Brandi?
This is podcasting on the fly. I might have a package or something. Hold on.
All right.
Sorry. Jackson wants to get out there. Jackson wants to protest. He wants to go shopping at Billabong. That's a crazy thing. All these pictures we've been seeing of people protesting is like they're at the most horrible stores. I would never. It's like BJ's Brew House.
Oh, you got a problem with BJ's, Babs.
I mean, it's not exactly the first place I'm going to after this. Let me just say that.
It's not the first place, but it's not the last place either. I actually love BJ's.
They got a great personal pan pizza. Big, big fan.
Great pan pizza.
Ooh,
I like
real
to get a flight
dish.
There. They have something that's a pizza that's on a cookie.
Okay, that sounds good.
I like a sweet pizza.
But I just mean, it's funny, all these photos are being taken at like strip malls and shit like that. And like, I'm not better than any of that.
Where are they supposed to do that? Why is that the downside of it? Why are you mad at Baskin Robbins being in the background of these people?
I'm not at Baskin Robbins. I'm laughing at the people who are so... want to get into Baskin Robbins so badly.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I also, if I just may, I love BJ's as well, the restaurant. My wife and son do not care for it at all. Because the one near our house is ridiculously loud. So we can't, we don't enjoy our time there. But I would tolerate it because I do enjoy the, what a fucking bore I am.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. And honestly, I think BJ should market itself as a good place to eat alone.
Yes.
It's not for company. It's fine. I mean, that's really the kind of place you don't need to be bothered.
Yeah, if you want to, if you want to have a silent meal where you also get tinnitus, BJ's. That's what it's for.
I didn't realize that this was going to just become a BJ's Brewhouse advertisement.
Well, who knew you were going to come at it so aggressively? Leave it alone.
Look, I felt like as someone who's had some good times in BJ's.
Okay, I have to be honest. I've never been to a BJ's Brewhouse.
Well, now's the time.
Yeah. Wow.
I was obviously prejudging it.
I would go now. There seems to be good people there.
Yeah.
They're going to open up very soon, from what I understand. So I would go now. Get in line. There's a line out there. That's how popular it is.
Absolutely.
Everyone's, I'm ready. I'll go. It will be the first place I'm going to go. Mm-hmm.
And like, obviously they're going to pick the most dog shit people to interview when they do stories about these people. But one guy was like, I guess protesting because he misses free refills on his iced tea and he's tired of having to drive through the drive-through twice to get two iced teas.
Life is hard. Life is very hard for these hillbillies. That is not a broad brush. That's for specifically that gentleman.
Yep.
I will... let's also remember, Tess, to your point, that while the media keeps also pointing out that this is just, like, there's only 15 people out there, they're still covering it. It's just 15 whack jobs.
Yeah.
Like, if they were protesting bread, nobody would be out there with a camera.
No.
Like, is that a good example? I'm not happy with that example.
Oh, no.
I think I'm failing you guys. Thanks for having me. Really,
we're all tired. I think, like, it's interesting because everyone's kind of been saying, like, certain parts of their social anxiety are better and stuff like that. But Zoom energy is a lot more energy than regular going out, and it's kind of exhausting in its own way. So I think all of us are tired from we're podcasting and trying to like stay afloat, and it's very tiring.
Yeah.
So it's okay if you just say nonsense.
I just try to think about all the content creators during the Black Plague and how they got through it without the technology that we have today. I mean, honestly, well, impressive.
Guys, we're very lucky that these famous people are letting us into their homes. Luckily, these millionaires that take the vacation from doing your TV show, asshole. You don't have to do a song at your conga.
No, absolutely not.
Actually, Babs has gotten really into... Is it Gloria Estefan, Babs?
Gloria Estefan.
Yeah.
Hang on now. I didn't hear about this. What is Gloria doing? Is she doing in-house concerts?
Babs's little... One of her quarantine hobbies has been just playing the Gloria Estefan song Conga.
I've been playing it on unsuspecting people, a.k.a. my roommate / boyfriend, when they're least expecting it. I can connect to their Bluetooth headphones, so...
Oh, that's wonderful. So you're doing like... You're doing your own Rickroll, but with conga.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, do I love it. There's
it's the new conga.
Do you like that song, or are you doing it just to annoy?
I actually do genuinely like that song, but it also has a very boisterous beginning of a song where it's like, and, you know, kind of like shocks them.
Yeah, I love
but
it.
There's no buildup, it just like jumps right in. Yeah.
Did you guys happen to see when it was at the Pantages here in Los Angeles?
The musical?
The Gloria Estefan,
I wanted to
Shouter?
See it. I heard it was really good. Babs and I had
subscriptions
the year before. But we didn't get to see that season.
That was called Get On Your Feet.
Get On Your Feet.
It is. It's fantastic.
Is it amazing? I bet it's amazing.
It's nothing but joy. It's nothing but joy. Except for the sad part where she gets hurt. But otherwise, it's great.
Is it based on her or is it just like using her songs?
No, it's based on her. So it's a really good, of all the jukebox musicals, I actually think it's my favorite. I think it's even better than Jersey Boys. And it's, as much as the music is great in the Donna Summer one, that show is a thumb down.
We saw the Cher show when we were in New York. Did you see that?
I'm not allowed in New York. The last time I was there, I brought a virus to the entire city.
Fair enough,
and it's just leaking out now. So I did that on a long con, coronavirus. I have not seen it, but I'm going to tell you something. I am very open about my love of 70s Cher and Cher in general.
Yes,
but
yes,
I don't mean, hey, I love Cher. I mean, I think I may be in love with Cher.
I think there's something wrong with you if you're not in love with Cher. Yeah.
So,
she's the best.
So is the show great?
It's fantastic. And I honestly, same thing you're saying about the Get On Your Feet. I feel like it superseded the Jukebox musical. Like, it's really smartly staged and it's narrated by three different Chers.
Great.
And it's, you know, it's poignant. The music is integrated really well. And obviously the costumes are just costume porn.
If you could be any Cher, which Cher would you guys be?
Oh.
70s Cher. There's no fucking question.
Well, but like, is there like a specific part of the 70s Cher? Like, which, like, is there an outfit that comes to mind when I ask
that
question?
I guess it's Bob Mackey, mid 70s Cher. There was that one, you know, I remember when I had a babysitter, and my babysitter brought her boyfriend over.
Uh-oh.
And Cher came out, this was on a Saturday night when the Sonny and Cher show came out, and Cher was on in a, it was like a diamond sort of dress, but like you could see.
The see-through one. Yes.
Yeah.
And she said, all right, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to go in and get something more comfortable. I remember my babysitter's boyfriend making a comment about, oh, there's no need for that, and not really understanding why he was saying that, because to me, it looked really uncomfortable. But now...
I really hope that's how he said it, too. It's very proper. Well, there's no need for that. Well,
I should tell you, he was a chimney sweep, and he was just taking time away from his duties with Mary and the family.
Yeah, I mean, I love Cher in any form. Most recent Mamma Mia 2 Cher, highly enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
all genres. It's very hard to pick one.
Yeah. I think I have to pick when she got the Academy Award after being snubbed. Great outfit, great moment in her life, great moment of triumph. Just some really good Cher.
Yep, also, she sang backup on Be My Baby, which is one of my favorite songs of all time, and I didn't know until that show.
Oh, that's
fine. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, she just was there, and I don't know if that's obviously the story of it from the musical is absolutely true, but she is singing backup on that song. So,
oh, that's exciting. I would just be Cher on Twitter because I just would like to see those replies coming.
Fantastic
in.
Choice.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Her just all caps Trump tweets. Yeah. Or she just tweets hi. Oh, I love her.
Yeah, that's what I would like. I would just like to not understand the technology, but continue excelling at it.
Yeah. I will say.
What she does, she's just going to be here longer than the rest of us, just excelling.
Yeah.
I will say, as far as Cher on Twitter, she has been like 3 months ahead of the curve on everything. Like, she's been right about everything. She's just been politically going on with what's going on with the virus. Like, she's just been like calling the shots. Like, she was way ahead of the coronavirus pandemic. She was talking about this in like January.
I don't know if that's true. The president said he was calling it a pandemic before we were. So I believe him.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to believe the singer. I'm going to believe the game show host.
You gotta love the pandemic hipsters, the ones that got to it first. Good for them.
Brandy, do you remember that when you came on Never Not Funny your very first time? It was the Thursday. It was November 10th of 2016, and I remember you walked into our studio, and just you walked in with the same energy that was happening in the room. Like, what the shit just happened? And it was 2 days later, and we were still walking around like zombies. Like, and you walked in, just opened the door, just like, what the fuck?
I was like, oh, hi. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. The show that I've actually, like, this was a milestone to be able to guest on. Oh, in this atmosphere? Great.
That's the one to be on.
Yep. Feels good. Well, and you had to reschedule twice before for two other things. I was like a Never Not Funny curse for a while, unfortunately.
Oh, well, we recorded an podcast the day before the election. So our mood in that podcast, we were at Sizzler with French Stewart. It was a great day.
It was a great day.
And then you were listening to it now, and we had no fucking idea what was about to happen.
You know what? Even worse, and not that it's a contest by any means, but because we usually record on Mondays. That week we had to record on Tuesday, so we recorded on Election Day.
Oh,
I think. Oh, with Brian Husky was our guest, and we were literally like talking like we were the smartest people in the world, and these dumb MAGA idiots are about to fall, and like as we're recording, like, you know, maybe some they were doing some exit polling, and it was like, we got this thing in the bag, and then it was like, nope. And then so to hear that back is like in real time, hearing
oh
us like
God.
Celebrate, and then you know what we all know what happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, what happened?
No, I
don't want to. You know what? Google it. I don't want to be the guy that spoils it.
Okay, don't tell me.
I want to say that Jimmy's got a green screen background on, so sometimes if he waves his arms, his arms
disappear.
Did you
miss my arm?
He looks like he's kind of floating there.
Jimmy, what are you hiding from us? What's going on in this green screen?
I'll just
it's a very nice office background, but I'm...
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's our studio, and that's my house. That's that's what's happening behind me in the moment. See, now you can see my arms.
Okay,
So you guys, we could do the glam cave behind us.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
You have to have unfortunately, Zoom for some reason won't let me do that. It's a travesty.
What, you can't do a fake background?
It won't let me. I don't know why. I'm not approved.
You know what,
Babs? I haven't been able to do it either, but I haven't been wanting to reveal what an aunt I am by asking people.
It just straight up won't let me. So I don't feel bad because it just says you can't do this.
That's weird. Why won't it let you do that?
Oh, wait. No, it says computer. My computer doesn't meet requirements. That's why.
Oh.
Oh.
I'm not hiding. I'm not hiding my home. This is what my house looks like.
Yeah. Can I give you a piece of advice on what you just said?
Come at me, Jimmy.
Can I give you a second opinion on that? No, I'm
kidding. I have so many bananas that are going to go bad. It's exciting. Went to the
grocery. Freeze them, girl. I know. Freeze your bananas.
Oh, I'm going to. Don't worry. I haven't thrown that much food away, and I'm actually pretty proud of myself for that. It's mostly getting eaten or getting frozen.
That's great.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you.
That's great.
I do deserve a round of applause. Wait, Jimmy, you don't like cooking. How are you handling this?
Oh, not well.
Oh, no.
Danielle, my beautiful wife Danielle, does most of the cooking. Although I've learned is in quotes. I've been doing hot dogs in the toaster oven.
Okay.
And so that is something I wasn't doing 45 days ago?
Wait.
Really?
I have a few
questions.
Okay.
You started doing this 45 days ago. Had you never made a hot dog before?
The last time I made a hot dog would have been in 1987.
Whoa. Okay. Do you just not like hot dogs?
No, he's been eating them. He just doesn't make them, okay. I think.
Okay. I just don't make them, yeah. Okay. Although, you know what? We haven't never had them in the home either until maybe 45 days ago.
Hot dogs
have kind of become an easy pandemic food. But I would eat them if I go to a baseball game or anywhere out. I will certainly enjoy a hot dog.
Yeah, hot dog's a social food, I think. You know, eating a hot dog alone in your house is, you're working through something.
I'm also imagining you putting the whole hot dog on the bun into the toaster.
I'm not an idiot. I was told by my wife not to do that. So I know how to ask for I'm doing that. That's the cooking, and then Danielle is doing the other things, and we will occasionally risk doing a Postmates or something and have somebody bring it to our home, mm-hmm. and they leave it down at the corner of our block, and I run down and grab it.
Yeah.
I lower a basket down.
Good for you.
And then bring it up, spray it, let it stay outside for 14 hours. Mm-hmm.
I have a dumb waiter.
He's not that bright, huh?
Hey,
come on. All right, Grandpa
Jimmy's
here.
I love a dumb waiter. What a cool!
Oh my god!
Was that just like a man? Is that just a mansion thing, or what is that?
It was definitely a mansion thing. I don't think you need to have. First of all, you need to have multiple stories to necessitate a dumb waiter.
Yeah, that's not a rancher situation.
No,
not going to happen.
No,
unfortunately,
that's a conveyor belt. Then, right? If it's in a ranch, it'd be a conveyor belt.
Well, you could put like a model train tracks around the top of your house with like a something attached to them.
And in that TV show opening. What was that? That was a TV show opening where they had that where train went around and
God. I don't
it
know.
Is train
let's
it's
all
not silver is it
Google.
Silver Spoons?
Yeah.
Maybe. Toy train opening. Is that?
That's gonna be some porn thing or something.
I mean
what's the first thing that came up?
There is a restaurant. Here's a piece of interesting thing. My and by the way, interesting again, that's in quotes. My dad lives in Westmont, Illinois, and not far from his house, there's a restaurant that is train themed. And if you order something at the and you sit at the counter, a train delivers it. Delivers you the food.
Real train?
Toy train.
Not a locomotive. Yes, a toy train.
You're just like covered in
an
soot.
Actual tree. You got to go out back with the hobos and wait in line to get your beans.
Risk your life on the tracks. But
I was truly picturing something. Yeah, where your table's like right on the platform,
no.
And then a train pulls up and brings you the shit.
Yeah,
that's the dumbest idea.
Amtrak comes by and gives you your chips.
I will say, previous to all this shit happening, I had just gotten like really into train travel. I was like super. I was taking the Amtrak like every couple weeks right before this happened, and it is like my favorite thing.
To where? Where were you going?
Yeah, where were you going?
My mom lives in Camarillo, so I would take the train from Glendale to Camarillo. It was so much nicer than driving. I would
follow
just,
up.
Like,
where's Camarillo?
It's like halfway between LA and Santa Barbara.
Oh, it's that direction.
Yeah.
Oh, I know where Camarillo is. Yes.
It's just, it's like right before Ventura. So it's like an hour train ride, and I would just have a glass of wine and read my book and not be sitting on. I loved it. It was wonderful.
I like train
that
travel.
Nice.
When I tried to go to San Diego last, though, it was actually like quite competitive to get the good, like get good seats. It was
packed. Get a good seat. Yeah.
It was packed with people, and like I thought there would be no one riding this train, and all of a sudden
were you
people
going
were, like,
to Comic-Con?
Jostling over each other. No, I was just going down to do shows, and I was barely making any money on the show I was doing, so I waited. I like stayed up all night and waited to take the early train home. It was very sad because I was like, I don't want to pay for a hotel and lose all the money I just made. So I stayed up. It was not a good idea. Let me just tell you what, bad plan, everyone.
I took the train down to San Diego for Comic-Con last year because I was like opening for Jonah Ray on a couple of shows. And Laurie Kilmartin had her Conan hotel room for an extra night that she wasn't going to use. She just gave it to me. And I was like,
oh, that's nice.
I was like, it was just such a fancy hotel. I was like, you should stay. I'm mad that you aren't just staying here for a day and treating yourself.
Yeah.
Not mad enough to not take it, though.
Did they officially cancel Comic-Con yet? I mean, not like I care. But
I think it just happened.
Oh, okay.
Actually,
no. Did they? Today?
Or I think a day or two ago. Yeah. I'm pretty sure
did. Are you sure about that?
Let me,
I don't know.
Let me do a little check.
When was it supposed to be?
It's like in July, usually.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's
mid-July.
Tricky. Yeah. Yeah, I will say that plan, that travel plan of stay up all night to make your flight or train or whatever,
it never works out.
Like every time I'm booking it, I'm like, yeah, I can pull it off. What? I'm gonna be up until midnight anyway. I'll just, you know, read a couple articles.
Also, I spent all this money like and food and other shit just staying up and doing things that I could have just spent on a hotel.
Yeah,
right,
for sure. Yeah. It was canceled this year.
It was?
Yeah. On April 17th, it got canceled. It's rescheduled for July of next year.
Oh, they moved it back a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bumped it back. So, sorry, Comic-Conners.
Wow. What will those people
con
dress
jobs.
In
That's
July?
Hello.
Con jobs?
Yeah. Maybe, maybe we'll all get a Funko Pops made of ourselves or something. You can spend your money on that instead. We'll really jack up the price on it. We'll feel like you were just at Comic-Con. It was great.
Have you guys ever been to you just went last year, you said.
I didn't go inside. I just did all the free stuff outside, and then I just opened for some shows at the American Comedy Company.
You know, I went there a few years ago. Doing a
what
segment for the Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton had a TV show, and I was down there doing a thing for him. And I had a day off from shooting, and so I was like, oh, I'll just go down to the floor and see what that's like. And I don't think I've hated that hour of my ever in my life. And I've had my appendix removed, which was painful. I've been kicked in the balls. I've had a lot of bad things happen. That hour that I was on the floor at Comic-Con was the worst.
It's pretty unbearable. I haven't been to that one specifically, but I've been to other ones. Like, because I sometimes I'll do – oh, I forgot to respond to that guy. I just remembered this guy messaged me. Anyway, like do a sci-fi whatever thing is Deanna Troi doing comedy. I've done that in a few things. And it's always – not fun. It's pretty unbearable.
I will say, like, I've never been to Comic-Con because it's just a confluence of many things I know I won't enjoy.
No, that's not a test. That's not a test place at all. No.
But I will say every con is a con, and I think you summed it up right, Jimmy. You're just like, you'd rather get kicked in the balls. Even without having balls, I know I would rather get kicked in the balls than go to any con. Because the lighting is so bad. It's so many people. It's so overcrowded.
I just remember I went years ago, like did the full thing up maybe 15 years ago or something like that. And before it was like the huge thing that it is now. But I just remember very specifically on the floor, there was this guy that was in the filthiest Cat in the Hat costume that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And he just instantly made me angry because I could just, yep. I could see what he smelled like before I was even near him. But I just like kept getting close enough to him. And at one point I go, oh, hey, what are you supposed to be? Like, clearly he's the Cat in the Hat. He goes, I'm the Cat in the Hat. And he just turned around.
That's all of them. I can't do it. Yeah, he like, there's just, weird dance parties that happen, and I'm like, I love dance parties, but I can't see this happen. Like, watching people in full costume trying to be cool, it's just a nightmare.
It's a real, like, real smelly place, a real horny place. It's bad. Like, that's like, that's where they all go to, like, really kind of smush their costumes together.
Oh, yeah, there's some freaky ass sex happening in those hotel rooms.
My son, who is now 12 years old, he's gone to the L.A. one, the Stan Lee Comic-Con thing, the last 3 or 4 years, and he always makes his own costume and dresses up, and he enjoys it.
That's the right age for it. Yeah, that's the age to go.
Right, you're 12 years old. Yeah. You put on a little costume and you enjoy yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm 40 years old.
Look, I'm 100% a supporter of costumes anywhere and everywhere that people want to wear costumes. I love costumes. But like when I saw I went to DragCon, the RuPaul's DragCon at the LA Convention Center, and it's like drag. Like you're looking at all these beautiful costumes and beautiful makeup and just the worst neon LED lighting.
Yeah.
And I have to imagine it's the same thing with Comic-Con. Like you're not really getting to see that shit.
No, it's convention centers. It's terrible.
Yeah.
No ambiance. We need some vibe.
It's about
vibe.
The lighting at Comic-Con.
Okay.
Jimmy, what's the last costume you wore?
What's the last costume? I think I put on like a Dracula costume for Halloween 1 year when I brought Oliver trick-or-treating.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure I wore something for some stupid television thing where they were like, hey, put that on, but I don't remember.
okay.
I'm going to stand. You know what? I'm standing by my Dracula. I'm standing by that answer. And
Evergreen.
Yeah, I like a Dracula.
We have to take a break, but first I want to say, speaking of nerdy stuff, this is maybe not going to translate at all, but
can't wait.
One of my friends who also listens to the show, Jeremiah, tweeted at us because he got our Lady to Lady stickers, and his screen name is Borg Drone, which is a Star Trek reference. But his handle is Mount Rose Teen American Princess, and Tess tweeted at him, I love your handle, and he wrote, oh yeah, I can't believe it wasn't taken, and he meant he thought that you meant the Star Trek one, and I was like, there's no way in a million years Tess would know what the Star Trek
Tess has no idea what the Borg reference is.
Right. No.
Absolutely not.
You said it, Barbara, and I was like, it was one of those moments where I was like, am I going to look dumb because I don't know what this is? And then I realized.
I just had a moment to myself of enjoying it because I was like,
that's hilarious.
No one here knows what's going on, and it's great.
That's so funny. No, I was definitely excited about his
Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Reference. Okay. We have to take a break, but we'll be right back, everybody.
Hey, welcome back to Lady and Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Jimmy Pardo.
I'm Jimmy.
That's right.
I'm Jimmy.
Wow.
I don't know why. I don't know why I did that.
Look, the real Jimmy.
Did it sound good? Did that sound good to you, Jimmy?
Did it sound like a good impression to me?
I don't think it was nasally enough.
I think I'm gonna be up in here a little bit more. I don't have to be here. I could.
I don't know what I'm
Brandy,
doing.
Brandy, don't
it's good
taunt
to see
our guests.
I know they can't. We can't lock the door.
They can literally just close their computer. Yeah. Yeah. You normally we would lock them in, but
yeah.
Unfortunately, that's all right.
All right, let's play a little game.
Yeah,
it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's called Would You Rather. Would you rather? Have you ever played this before, Jimmy?
I have played this game, yes.
Okay. I didn't know. Was this a sleepover game back in the day when you had sleepovers?
It was not. In fact, I could tell you I was at a bar at a one-nighter comedy gig. The very first time I ever played this game. So I was in my 20s the first time I ever heard of this game. So
late would you rather bloomer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Let's go through.
Ooh, here's a good one. Okay. Would you rather frame your best friend for a horrible crime you committed or be framed for a horrible crime you didn't commit?
But who's framing me? Is it just anybody?
I think Roger Rabbit. I think.
I'm not going down for that fool.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say the second one because you want to be like, oh, I could get out of it. I would figure a way to defend myself.
Well, yeah, if you're innocent, you, I mean, well, you want to, what, do you want to trust the system?
Well, yeah.
Look what it's done to my buddy Roger Stone. I don't trust it at all. I will tell you guys this. This is interesting to nobody but me and anybody else that has to hear this whenever I say it. This is my biggest fear in life, and I'm not joking, is that I will be framed for a crime I didn't commit and go to prison. That
really?
Is my biggest fear. Yes, I'm paranoid that it's going to happen one day because I will never do anything that will land me in jail or prison. That's I just don't live life that way.
Yeah.
I will do nothing that will happen. So if it ever happens, I am framed, and that scares the hell out of me because I've seen enough TV shows where you go, but I didn't do that. Yeah, right. And then you're in prison. Mm. So
I identify with that. I would say that's like one of my biggest nightmares. I wouldn't say it's one of my biggest fears, but like it's the idea of it terrifies me on like a really visceral level. Like even watching a TV show or a movie where that happens to someone makes me clench up because it would just be like the most awful thing.
And do you think it's I mean obviously it's horrible for obvious reasons of going to jail and stuff, but do you think like I think part of it would be that people wouldn't believe you or people think people who you love thinking that you did something that you didn't do. That would be the worst part.
Yeah, for it's like, oh, I spent all this time building all this character, and you think my character would do this shit?
Right.
How dare you?
Well, and then how long until you start to lose it, and you start to wonder, like, did I do it?
Did
and
I do that?
Just blacked out or something? And, you know, to what degree is your own conscience pliable by being in
the situation? Gaslighting is very effective on me, so I would probably just be like, guess I did it. Just like...
Yeah.
All right.
I guess I'm messed up.
So I'm going to go with frame somebody else. I know that's a dicky thing to do, but I'm going to go with that because I
you're
can't
not going
go
to prison.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. But I'm framing somebody because I did do it, right?
Yes. Yeah, you did it and you're framing your best friend.
Yeah.
Oh, then no. But, you know, I wouldn't do that. I think I would take the fall for somebody. Yeah. Oh, shit. I don't like these options.
Well, luckily, prison's canceled.
Hopefully,
now.
Yeah. None of us will deal with that, but you never know what Breaking Bad life we're gonna get ourselves into, you guys.
Right.
I think I would have to I think the guilt from the first one would be worse even than the sensation of being wrongfully imprisoned, which would also be a fate worse than hell.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's also a part of me that feels like I could like game a prison system a little bit and like be
of
the
course,
person that
Brandy,
gets
of course
I feel like I could, I could get you things. I could be Morgan Freeman in Shawshank. Like, I feel like I would have a line to the outside. I would find a position of power. I'd be like, I've identified with Andy Dufresne for a long time. And like, he did okay. He ended up on a beautiful island eventually. I'll crawl through a river of shit to come out clean on the other side. It's fine. Worked for him. It was character building. Imagine the novel you could write afterwards.
Yeah, if you could ever show your face again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what Tessa though is accurate. I think if you the guilt would get you because then you would also, in addition to pulling off that crime, you would have the you'd have to look over your shoulder constantly.
Yes.
Is this the day that they figured out that I framed that person? In addition to the guilt of framing the person. So I think I'd go to prison and hope that I'm in a cell with Brandy who will take care of everything.
Yeah, see, I got this handled. No, yeah. I can get you a shank. If that's what you need.
Get you a shank,
Jimmy.
Like a lamb shank?
No, like a shank, like a stab.
A little
a shiv.
Yeah,
a shiv.
Yeah, a shiv. But a shank is another word for
that's
it
the
too,
same
right?
Thing.
Potato, potato, shank, shiv.
Again, I'm not going to prison.
I really was not expecting this afternoon to get so stabby, you guys.
Yeah, okay. It's day 38 of quarantine.
We've
things
gotten stabby.
I'm only eating things out of jars that I can stab with a knife. Like that's where I'm at in my diet.
Like a little fishing.
Yeah, exactly. It's very exciting.
A little spear fishing.
Yeah,
for a dill pickle or such.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you rather be raised by monkeys or by wolves?
Oh, monkeys.
Monkeys.
Wolves.
Whoa, wolves?
Yeah.
I feel like monkeys are going to give you a lot more skills. Here's the question. Are you eventually entering society, or are you just staying in the jungle?
I think you eventually enter society.
Monkeys.
Then we're monkeys. We are monkeys. Yeah.
You guys are just throwing shit at each other. I know what you're up to.
I mean, if I'm being honest, every time I see one of the, I know maybe it's like ethically questionable, but every time I see one of those like TV shows where someone lives with a monkey that like reads and opens cupboards and stuff, I'm so jealous. Like, I already would love
I'm mostly just thinking, like, I guess if you're being raised, you're still going to have opposable thumbs. But this is the biggest thing to me, is that I would want to know how to use those. And wolves are not going to show you how to use those. Really, what it's coming down to for me.
You know, you make a really good point. You're making me rethink my stance. Mm-hmm. Imagine just coming out of the jungle, just like
they're like,
what? No,
learn how to use
these. What are these?
Yeah, they're just little paddles.
Yeah,
I think actually though, if that's your only fear, Babs, I think you would figure out thumbs by having them. I think you would just know.
I guess it depends on how long you're in there, because you know I've read a lot about feral children, and if you don't come out by a certain point, you're fucked.
Wait, you read a lot about feral children?
Yeah, it's like a very interesting subject to me. Kids who are like,
yeah, like Genie the feral child.
Where do you read more than the one story about that?
I mean, just Wikipedia, you know. But there's quite a few. There's like, kids who are like raised by wolves or whatever, stuff like that. Kids who were like raised in, you know, like real life Mowglis and things like that. And
I'm going to have to look that up.
Me too.
There's a few. There's not tons, but there's definitely a few. I mean, most of the ones that people know about, which it's like really disgusting, but it's kids who were like locked in a fucking chamber for years, you know, and they're the ones who didn't develop any skills and stuff. But there are, there is like stories about kids who were raised in the woods and things like that. And I think, I'm just going to say, I think the monkey ones have a better chance.
Wow. You just blew open a part of my brain that I didn't even know existed. Like this. So, because I remember when they came out with that reality show. Remember, like, when they just let you do anything on a reality show and they had that one where they just, like, let some kids have their own island, like real life Lord of the Flies?
Oh, yeah, that deeply illegal show.
It's called Deeply Island. Sure, what was those it called?
Kids. Yeah, I think it was called Kid Island or Kid Nation or
Kid
something.
Kid Nation. And that they was just it.
Yeah. I don't think we got to even see the end of the season. I think they put the kibosh before you.
Oh,
really
yeah.
Got
it got Lord of the Flies
out.
Real quick up in there. They were it was not going anywhere.
Looking up legal implications for Kid Island. I'm like, where are these kids now? They all got to sue them,
right? Genie the Feral Child was the famous ending of my relationship with an ex where She was strapped onto a potty chair for years. Mm-hmm. She wasn't like allowed to develop, and then she, you know, they finally rescued her. And he and I were fighting about it for some reason because I was like really upset about it. And he goes, "Well, it had to happen to someone." And like that was
no, you have to leave.
That was
you
the end of our relationship.
Yeah, so does you leaving.
Exactly. Also, I know which ex this is, and that's so funny.
That is like an end of relationship fight where you're like, well, we fought about all the important things, but it's still not quite over.
Well,
so I guess
like
let's fight over a feral child.
You're fighting about everything. So it was like, well, here's the last. Here's the last
But
one.
The funny thing is, I actually know a couple people who've broken up with this person, and it's always something like that.
It is, isn't it? Actually, I do know that.
It's very pro feral child.
It's got to happen to somebody. What a.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
Let's see.
Would you rather have the ability to time travel or to stop time?
I mean, time feels like it's stopped right now, and I'm not enjoying it very much. Mm. So probably time travel.
Yeah, here, here.
Well, here's the question about time travel. In my head, I'm always like, you time travel back to the exact same space that you're in, or, right? Like, you can't, like...
You're saying, can you come back?
You can't hop location as well, right? It's just like
I think it's just.
I think with time travel, you also can go because I've never seen a time travel thing where they were like, oh, we're in the same place. You usually
because you're breaking the space time continuum,
so you can go wherever.
You're both.
Okay, cool. Okay, great, awesome. Then
although in Back to the Future, they always just were at the same place.
Yeah. So, see, that's. Yeah, it's like which movie franchise of time traveling are we? Which rules
gonna
are
believe?
We applying? Yeah, exactly.
Which one are we basing this on?
But bottom line, time travel, right? Nobody wants to slow this thing down any more than it already is.
I'm torn. Because but if you could stop time, can you stop aging in yourself? Or do you keep aging?
No, I think you keep aging. I think it's like that thing where you stop time. It's like a fucking Zach Morris or whatever.
Okay, yeah, like you stop
around
time.
You, but you're...
You can still move.
Yeah, still move. So I guess you would age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I would do it.
I gotta go.
Like...
Time travel, because I'm like also curious about different times. Like I would like to go back to the 70s and like go back a couple hundred years and go forward and back. So I guess that would just be more interesting.
Let me ask you a question based on what you just said, Tess. If I go back to the 70s, do you think I have a shot with Cher?
Yes.
Yes.
Just tell
absolutely.
Her you have a podcast.
Tell her about in the future. I'm gonna have a I'm gonna be a pioneer in a medium.
Are you gonna get rid of Sunny? Yeah. What's your plan with Sunny?
I think I could take Sunny
somebody
in a fight.
Should have, yeah. I think who knows? Even she could have maybe even gone further if you go back in time and get rid of Sunny. Maybe she would be the president right now.
I should tell you this: I can't write a song like Sunny did. I mean, Sunny did give them the hits.
But here's the thing: you know those songs, so you just take those songs to Cher and you scoop.
Oh, there we
you
go.
Scoop to Sunny.
Like that movie Yesterday. I go and I pull that little prank.
Yeah,
exactly. Is that what he did? He went back. He didn't go back in time. It was just that no one had heard the Beatles before.
I didn't see it.
Right, yeah. But I guess I was morphing too.
What a high idea that got made into a film. Like, what a fucking...
It was a good movie. It was a very good movie.
Was it good?
It was, says guy with no sense of humor about it. It was very good.
I have to say, yes. I never tire of Beatles music or it being used in movies. I love it. Like, it's like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a staple. Okay. It's fine. Yeah. Beatles are fun.
I don't know why I didn't see Yesterday. I guess everyone talks
you
shit and I just believe them.
Well, they're wrong. It was a very nice movie. My entire family enjoyed it. And then we did not so much enjoy the... I enjoyed it more than my family. The Bruce Springsteen one, The Born to Run.
Oh, I was wondering about that.
Oh, Blinded by the Light. It was called Blinded by the Light. Yeah. What's that, Brandy?
I was wondering if you saw that one or not.
Enjoyed it, Oliver and Danielle gave it the thumbs down.
I will say...
What was their criticism?
I think they were just bored.
Gotcha.
We watched Uncut Gems, and I was so angry at my boyfriend for making us watch it. He didn't make us watch it. I wanted to watch it, and it's not that I didn't like the movie, but I just hated how it made me feel so much.
Yeah.
And I was so angry at it for that. And I was just like,
it looks stressful.
It's
right?
Literally,
it's so
like everyone
stressful.
Says, it's pure stress. It's there is no break, and it just ends badly. And you're like, why? I just was so mad afterwards.
Yeah.
Does he Sheba Shaba at any point?
No, I wish. There's no Sheba Shaba.
Yeah, he does that in the middle of it.
Okay. I just need like a little bit of Sheba Shaba and then I will watch it, but no.
They did a good job, though, like with, I saw with my husband who loves sports gambling and he was like, this is exactly what it feels like to gamble on sports.
Right.
And like, it was kind of like cigarettes where I could see how some people would be repulsed by it and some people would kind of get off.
Yeah, it was, I could definitely see that for sure, but it was just like, well, that is not for me. I'm good. Ooh. And I like literally went to bed like mad. I was like, I'm very unhappy right now.
Yeah, the ending, because also the ending, I don't know why anybody would have been shocked by that ending because it wasn't going to have a happy ending.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you watch that whole movie and you're like, really? And then you're going to do a sturdy like that. Okay, thank you.
And like, I like basketball, but I also was like, do I really have to watch a whole fucking basketball game right now? Like, cut this down a little bit.
That actually sounds nice. That sounds nice. Yeah,
give us a break from the other storyline.
Yeah.
Seriously. What was the last movie you guys saw in theaters? Did we talk about that on here yet? No.
It might have been Uncut Gems, actually.
Mm. You saw that in a theater, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Hey, that might be ours, too.
Yeah.
I saw one thing on my own. What did I see? Darn it. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Brandon.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I saw it on Valentine's Day.
I saw something since that. We were not as romantic in our house. We didn't see it on Valentine's Day.
Well, it was opening day, and like I have a thing where I see Jim Carrey movies on opening day. It's like a tradition that I keep.
How does Jim feel about it? Is he aware of this?
No, I actually have no desire
She's
to ever
like,
meet
good.
Him. He means too much. He means too much to me, and I think he's too crazy.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to keep you at a distance because you mean a lot to me at a certain point in my life, and I still like respect that. We don't ever need to talk, though.
You know, I feel that we just talked about this on Never Not Funny. Growing up, I wanted to meet and or be John Cusack more than anything in the world. Mm. And I think if I met John Cusack now, I think it's proven, I'd be very disappointed.
I would not.
It'd be disappointing, and also I don't know. It's so weird because they're just, I just think of how exhausted they are. Like, there's so many people coming up to them trying to make a connection. And I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to do this.
Yeah, I don't need to do that to you. Well, because, no, even just, like, the such a mild version of it that, like, we all have where it's, like, I know what it is to give that to somebody and then multiply it times the thousands times of people over the decades they've had to do it where I'm like, I don't want to take a piece of you.
Yeah,
it's going to be bad for one or both parties. It's probably unlikely that both people are going to be thrilled by the transaction.
I very rarely, I don't do it often, but the few times I have bothered a celebrity to tell them that I appreciate them, I never get in my car and feel good about it. I never feel like, hey, I'm glad I did that. I always feel like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I should have said this. I think that, I hope they liked me. Like, it's like, there's you can't feel good about it.
I will say Babs and I nerded out and met Lin-Manuel Miranda in January, and that felt pretty
good. We did pretty well.
That was okay, huh?
because he was Lin-Manuel Miranda about it. Like, he just exudes so much positivity and was, like, so cool and, like, staying rent with us. That we I felt like we had just been like, we got some of his Lin-ergy.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh. Yeah. Wait. No, I don't know. No.
Mm-mm. Wait, Jimmy, you have a Tom Hanks story about him being really good at boundaries on Conan, right? I think I think you're the one that maybe I heard this on one of your podcasts about how, like, Tom Hanks backstage was like, I don't have time for this, but he said it in a really nice way.
Oh, no, that's not me. No, okay. I don't know that story.
Okay. Wow. That's something I think of often. I have a saying where I just say, what would Tom Hanks do? Where, like, because he feels like he's very good at maintaining his own boundaries as far as, like, celebrities go. And I'm just like, Tom Hanks would not have time for this fight or this person. And if Tom Hanks doesn't have time for it, then I'm going to walk away too. And I thought that was from a story that you told, but
no, that's, but maybe somebody shared that on Never Not Funny.
That might have been it. Yeah.
But I did not. First of all, I don't remember that story, so I don't know why I'm saying it was on my program. But my two interactions with Tom Hanks were nothing but wonderful. He was a nice man.
Yeah,
go Tom Hanks.
End of sentence.
Okay, we have to take a break. We'll be back with the lady problem, everybody. Welcome back to Lady, everyone. My name is Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Jimmy. There he is.
I'm with Jimmy. We're here with Jimmy.
Do you want to help us give some advice, Jimmy? How do you feel about that?
I feel very good about it. I don't know. I before the break, you said we're coming up with lady problems. I'm not so sure if I'm the
We get all types of
everyone.
Problems.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's lady problems are for everyone.
All right.
Yeah.
It's just the name of the segment, okay? We're branding ourselves. Mm-hmm.
How's it going?
Fantastic.
The branding.
Okay.
If you have lady problems, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Yes, please.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems.
So here we go. Right. Hi. Sorry for the anonymous email from a resurrected Hotmail account, but I'm real world old friends with one of you. Ooh. Chances are you'll figure out who I am anyway, and that's fine, but I feel like I should at least keep some pretense of shame.
Ooh, I love this already.
Anyway, here's the thing. I have a snooping problem. I know. Mm. It's the thing I'm most disappointed in myself for. I'm really embarrassed about it. I fully recognize that it betrays the trust and betrays trust and denies the person I love most his personal autonomy. I like to say I have good reasons for it. My dad was a snoop and I always hated him for it, but that means I can claim that I come to this by both nature and nurture. And I've had my snooping affirmed before, like when I discovered my ex...
What the fuck?
like when I discovered my ex was getting on Grindr right after I left his apartment. But still, I know it's the worst thing about me and I'm ashamed. That being said, I snooped again recently and it's causing me a real lady problem. Some background. I'm a fella, he, him, his, married to a fella, he, him, his, and I'm insanely happy. We have a 3-year-old son, an amazing home in the suburbs, the idyllic life I'd never thought I'd have. Oh, I know who this is now. Okay. I've snooped on him in the past early in our relationship when he was working overseas, and mainly I just got a high from logging into his Facebook Messenger and feeling like I was still connected to his daily life even when he was far away. I knew it was wrong, and I admitted it to him. He, in his oh-so-perfect way, managed to simultaneously make me feel embarrassed and forgive me for it. I knew he was mad, but also knew it wouldn't ruin our relationship. That's why I married this guy. I managed to do a pretty good job for the next 5 or 6 years, only snooping on the rarest of occasions. Then, about 2 months ago, the itch came back. I was home with the preschooler on a Saturday while he was off with him on a modeling gig, and I was probably feeling bored and a little needy. Maybe we had argued or something before he left the house. Whatever it was, I saw his apartment and got that old nudge, so I opened his iMessage, not really expecting to find anything of note. Instead, I found a message he had sent earlier that week to a dancer he had just finished a show with. In short, it said, "I have a crush on you. I think you feel the same. I didn't want to say anything while we were still working together because I'm still madly in love with my husband and nothing's going to come of this, but I felt the chemistry and I know you did too, and I'm the type to acknowledge it so we can move on." And he is.
Damn. Ooh,
yeah, and he is.
Ooh, yikes.
This is so totally his style. If I asked him point blank if he had crushes and if he told those crushes about his crushes, I'm certain he'd say yes. He's not the cheating type, and his transparency, frankly, reassures me. He believes in innocent crushes and the fact that you can be committed to one person but still attracted to other people. Logically, I know it makes him healthy and well-adjusted, but I'm neither of these things, and his iMessage flirting is eating at me. Now we're in coronavirus lockdown, and 1 month in, I feel like I'm constantly getting on his every nerve. This is normal. We're an old married couple with a hyper 3-year-old boy who can't leave the house. I'm working from home, and we're stepping on each other's toes, and of course it's going to be rough. And mostly it's not. Mostly I'm in heaven, being home with my family all day, every day. But I can tell he's getting annoyed, and I can't help but think he'd rather be in quarantine with someone other than me. And I think I know who he'd choose. There's more to this story. There's just a little bit more. There's more of the story. There's the fact that I get a little titillated by the idea of him having this sexuality that exists separate from me, and the fact that titillation makes me feel, and the fact that titillation makes me feel even more uncomfortable. There's the fact that I get a little thrill when I find another flirty message from him when I snoop, and I'm a little disappointed when I don't find anything. There is clearly something deeply wrong with me here, so what I really need is a verbal smacking around by you three, whose wisdom and honesty I sincerely trust and desperately need. Wow, this is a juicy one.
Damn, it is. That's a lot.
I guess I thought that was
going
to end with. So my question is: do you think I write too long of letters?
That was definitely a long one. We do like a lot of. It's always good to have a lot of background, though, so you get all the info.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough. I've been a snooper in the past. I've told this story before, but my favorite snooping was with the guy who I broke up with that conversation with. And I searched for my name in his email while he was in the shower, and then I forgot to erase it. So when he came out, he saw my name. My name in his search bar.
That's a fun moment.
That's a classic one.
That's a fun moment for everybody.
I'm not a huge snooper, but that was probably my biggest snoop.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know how I feel about that. That I don't think he needed to send a message to a person he had a crush on.
No, he didn't.
That's I don't like that at all. You could just have a crush, go fucking journal it. You don't need to message this person and tell them about
right,
it at all.
Because what's the possible outcome? And they're not, it sounds like he's not even working with this individual anymore. So the guise of, oh, it's better to just address it and get rid of it. It's like, for what? You guys aren't, when are you going to see each other? So what
yeah,
really
the point
is
to address it is to continue something, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, man. This guy's very forgiving, this gentleman, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and it's like, you know, I'd be curious to know if you've ever been in therapy or like talked about this at all, like with a therapist. It's obviously something you've like done on and off a long time in your life. Like, are there certain things that happen that trigger you to make you want to do this? If there's like, think about those commonalities, like, were you feeling ignored? Like, think back on like those moments in your life when you have been compelled to do this and wonder if there is like some stuff that you can be like, okay, is this like intuition or is this like me reacting from a defensive place based on something that happened before or something?
I mean, the times I've snooped in my life, isn't it from a lack of trust? Isn't the whole reason that you would do it? So like if he's going into this guy's messages, there's a lack of trust, even if he's rationalizing it with, well, I know he would be honest with me if I asked him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you didn't just ask him. You felt the need to go through a back door to see, is he sending messages to this person? And the second that I would discover that, I think I would go, well, that's wonderful. Here's the 3-year-old and I going to find a new place to live. That's what I, maybe that's too knee-jerk, but...
No, I mean, everyone has different reactions.
Pretty severe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think like he's kind of like gaslighting himself. Like he's kind of like which sounds like he's been gaslit in the past. So he's trying to like circumvent that step and just blame himself. Yeah. Even this shit about you're in quarantine and you're being annoying.
Yeah, I think I think like we have to definitely talk about what you said at the end, which is like, I just need to be smacked around and be told like there's something seriously wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. We are all naturally curious people. We have instincts. When your instinct is that something weird is going on, you want to probably figure it out. It's very scary. It's not like you're just going to straight up ask him what's going on. And even if you did, you probably wouldn't get a straight answer. So we all have that. You know, there's a side to all of us that we don't love, but it is who we are. And like that comes out when we snoop around in someone's thing. But you did it because, yeah, you felt bad about something and you were trying to feel better. So I think try to be a little bit easier on yourself as far as that goes. Like you aren't in the wrong here. Like you know, did something like, whatever, a little morally ambiguous, but so he did. Not that it's like matching, you know, not that you should match them up, but obviously he's doing something I think you should be more concerned about than like you kind of having this instinct to look.
Many years ago, when I was a younger boy, I snooped, to use the word snoop, I looked at my girlfriend's journal. Mm-hmm. Because I had suspicions, and my suspicions were proven and confirmed. And then I, of course, then said, hey, I saw this. And her reaction was that I was an asshole for looking through her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a point to bring this up. What was my point? That this guy, obviously, I guess I'm going back to that. This guy has suspicions, which is why he's doing it. Don't ignore your suspicions and don't excuse them. Don't excuse any answer that you're able to come up with for yourself. Something's up.
And if it's really the case that like everything is on the up and up and you guys are in fact both cool with this arrangement, then there's still nothing wrong with confronting them about it.
Well, your last paragraph here, you also, and I'm be very open here, where it's like you kind of say like, oh, I get a little like titillated at the idea of like him having this sexuality that exists separate from me. Then if that's genuinely how you feel, then you need to have that conversation with him one way or the other. Like, be like, because right now the rules of your relationship, as I think you both understand it, are you guys are monogamous and there's nothing happening outside of that. If that is something that you like, you say here that you are like, oh, that's kind of interesting to me, then that's a conversation that you need to have, and it's all about communication either way.
Yeah,
I agree. You know? I mean, it sounds like you could possibly, in you know, sometime away from now, be into something where he could explore a crush that he was interested in. Perhaps you could do it. Does sound like there is perhaps grounds for something like that, because he is sounds like he's fairly open. I know he didn't tell you about this crush, but whatever, he said he would tell you if you asked him. And especially that kind of turns you on or something. So there could be grounds for something like that. Obviously we're in quarantine right now and none of that shit's going to be happening, but also your insecurity that needs to be, if you're still feeling like that, I don't think that open relationship thing's going to work.
Well, and like also you're like working and taking care of a 3-year-old in quarantine. So like all you need to do right now is like take care of yourself. Like fuck like putting shit on yourself and like getting mad at yourself and like trying to take on burdens that aren't yours.
Yeah,
you have
absolutely
enough on your plate.
Yeah, exactly.
Get mad at the kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Take it on the child. Kid.
Take it on to the child. That's the most, you know what? I think that's the healthiest response here.
Yeah, absolutely. They're supple. They can handle it.
I'm trying to think of like what I would do if I discovered something like this, because I've never found anything like this, but I think I would just, I mean, I don't know if I could hold back from like, I don't think I could hold back from calling him out on it. So I think I would just be like zero to 20. Yeah. You know.
It's going to come out.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut up. Yeah.
That's Garth. Garth in the background.
Various pets going. I've got nothing but a silent angel on my bed, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's like you guys need to, you've got to bring it up. And it's funny because I feel like if you snoop and you don't find anything, then you're the wrong one. But if you snoop and you do find something, then, well, your point was proven.
Yeah.
You know?
And I agree.
It's a conversation you kind of need to have one way or the other, because it sounds like right now it's like you're just feeling guilty and you're going to internalize this, and it's going to cause fights down the line that are going to be not about the thing that you actually need to talk about. You know, like that's definitely,
yeah, all you're
happening.
Doing is obsessing. And I would do it too, but you're obsessing over him, like having a crush on this person. And it's obviously affecting, especially your quarantine life together. So.
Well, yeah. And it's like, you need to set bounds. Like because that would make me want to be like, okay, are you still talking to him now? Because then that would make me want to keep going back and checking more and more and more mm-hmm. and more and more. Like,
yeah, you're not going to stop snooping until you address it, especially as someone who has a proclivity towards snooping. This mm-hmm. is going to spiral out of control until you yeah. just address it. Like,
yeah. Exactly. And
even a normal person who didn't consider themselves a snoop would feel compelled to keep checking.
This is making me want to snoop, but I'm.
Yeah, honestly, it's like seeing someone yawn.
I'll report back to you guys.
It's contagious.
I divorce, right? Isn't that the answer?
No,
here?
I don't think so.
No,
I think it is. Guys, I've settled it.
Jimmy's a divorce lawyer.
But it's a different world now. I mean, like, open relationships are possible, so I don't think that that's, you know, out.
Why are they any more possible today than they were 10 years ago?
They're as possible, if not, you know, I think they're just like talked about more. Like that is like a new closet that has kind of been opened up in a lot of ways. And I think
I guess that's just my gut reacting to that. Like, I could never be in that ever.
Yeah.
Ever,
see, I mean, ever. As someone who could and probably will be eventually, I definitely.
I'm listening.
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's like this thing where you're not, it's a separate thing outside mm-hmm. of you. You don't kind of bring it together with your person. It's a separate thing. And some mm-hmm. people can separate that and some can't. So, you know, for those who mm-hmm. can, I do think it's like a possibility.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, for sure. But a lot of that is also about like hardcore communication yes. and not hiding stuff. Like, it's about setting, I listen to Dan Savage all the time and he talks a lot about open relationships, and it's like about hardcore communication, setting your boundaries, and like, these are the rules by which this relationship works. And it's more, it's you game out a ton of scenarios. It sounds, frankly, yes, it sounds very unsexy until it's sexy.
It sounds like Dungeons and Dragons to me. Like, I get people are into it, but
we're
who has
going to Comic-Con? Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and like, so here's the thing. Maybe you guys, like, once you've had this conversation, you're like, hey, there's a breach of trust. We need to figure this out. Like, it could even be like, maybe you like watching him like flirt with people, and then he like comes home to you. Is that a part of it? Like, figure out what is the thing.
Yeah, that could be all
that,
it is.
That is attractive,
it's like,
here.
You know, flirting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I think his husband is correct in the fact that, like, I do think you can be with somebody and think someone else is attractive. Like, that's, you know, we're all humans.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we're like animals. Yeah. Like, you're attracted to people.
But yeah, just,
but
yeah.
I don't want that person.
Yeah, wait. But you don't want what?
I'm sorry. I was interrupting. No, I apologize.
You wouldn't want that person to be.
I wouldn't want that person emailing that person and saying, I have a crush on you. That to me is crossing a line of some sort.
No, I agree.
I think I do think that's crossing a line. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that. If the husband, if all he is into is like maybe having a crush occasionally and like flirting, then it could be something like that where Brandu's saying, where it's like, oh, like, you know, it's kind of fun to watch you flirt, but then I know you're coming home to me. That is like a thing.
But,
you
know, like, I just feel like the most important thing for them to really think about going into this is don't take any bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever it is, like, stand up for yourself and speak your truth, and don't let this get manipulated into you getting in trouble for it, because you're already getting yourself in trouble for it. So let go of that shit and just know that you have every right to say whatever the fuck your point of view is. And even if that includes you being upset that this text was sent, even if you guys have this open, it doesn't sound like they have an open thing.
I'm not saying they have an open thing.
You know, No,
but yeah, I mean, I feel like this person's being manipulated into thinking that they're just supposed to be cool with whatever, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Yeah. No, I could see that. It's you guys just really need to communicate about like what your boundaries with this kind of stuff are. Like, if it, you know, it's, and him sending an email is him breaking a boundary, because it's not something you guys have ever discussed before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Tess is right in that it's like, you're probably putting yourself you put yourself through so much shit, obviously feeling bad about this. So it's like time to stop that and just, stand up for yourself and what you want and talk to him.
Why don't you tell your child what his whore father did? And and then see what happens from there.
There it goes.
And then watch a little.
We could have cut out all this bullshit chit chat.
that's our show. Thank you so much, Jimmy, for being on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad I was little to no help to that gentleman's email.
No, I think.
Thank God you three were there to give some good advice. And while I
we don't know what the fuck
well now
we're
obsessed
doing.
That I. Okay, just I want to make sure that you guys know that as well. Okay, very
good. Yeah, of course. No. Yeah, I mean, people keep sending us emails and we'll keep answering, but we're not professionals. We know that. They know that. We say it, tell it often. where can people find you online and all the stuff, Jimmy?
Well, of course, jimmypardo.com is your catch-all for everything. Never Not Funny is the podcast, at Jimmy Pardo on Twitter. I have a web series called Jimmy's Records and Tapes, which is a fun walk down memory lane through my record collection from 1975 to 1995, a different episode each week. And they're all up on YouTube at youtube.com/nevernotfunny. And there's 21 episodes of that. And so that's fun.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
All right. And for the Patreon listeners, we're going to head over to patreon.com/ladytolady. We're going to do a top secret session with Jimmy.
Oh.
Talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.